this morning I want to speak about a subject that relates to all of us. No matter how old you are as a Christian, it relates to all of us, and it's the battle of the mind. There's a warfare that happens in our mind. And I wanted, if you've got your Bibles with you, it'll be on the screen. I want you to have a look at this particular passage of Scripture from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 4. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," that's what we do, we walk in the flesh, "we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty, and are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Father, as we turn to your word, your word says the entrance of your word brings light. We open our understanding to you, Lord. We open our hearts to you. We pray that you anoint our ears, spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes. Help us to see and hear. We want to go from this place knowing, Father God, that you've spoken to us, knowing, Father God, that you've imparted into us, and that, Lord, we can start this new week knowing, Father God, that we have victory. We walk in victory in Jesus' precious name. Strongholds, where do they start? They start in your thoughts. Fear starts with thought. You know, it starts with your thought. Worry starts with thought. Anxiety starts with thought. Anger starts with thought. Comparing yourself to someone else starts with a thought. I can't do it. I can't be like that person. And Satan wants to put wrong thoughts in our minds. And if we don't deal with them, they will become strongholds, fixations. They'll become, if we don't watch it, an obsession. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare. It's warfare, church. Whether we like it or not, it is warfare. And we're in this warfare. And the area of our thought life is the battlefield. Thoughts are Satan's strongholds. You see, here's a picture of a Christian involved in a battle. And it starts in the mind. You know, it may start with disappointments. Disappointments happen in life, and then a thought begins to trigger, a thought in our mind. It may start with a relationship gone wrong. It may start with a trauma. It may start with a situation, you know, any situation can trigger it. For instance, you see two people over there talking, and the other day you happen to share something personal to one of the person. I wonder if they're talking about me. I wonder if that person is saying something about me. Starts with thought. And so this picture, this passage gives us a clear understanding about strongholds. Strongholds. And how we must deal with them if we're going to be successful in a Christian life. And God has called us to be successful in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. You see, the devil's goal is containment. If he can contain you, if he can stop you from growing through disappointment, worry, anxiety, whatever the case may be, he wants to contain you. He wants to see a limit in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. But God wants us to continually grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul defines strongholds as any type of thinking that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, thereby giving the devil a secure place of influence in a Christian's thought life. What is a stronghold? It's a mind set on a thought. Your mind is set on a thought, impregnated with a sense of hopelessness. And that's what the devil wants you to feel, because it is the building blocks of strongholds. What strongholds can do is cause us to think in ways which can block us from receiving God's bless. And church, it's important to recognize that when we speak of strongholds, we're not talking about random thoughts, random negative thoughts. We all have that. Or occasional sins. We're not talking about it. We're talking about thoughts that you find hard to break free from. You know, many years ago, God said to me, he said, "Satan wants you to become a POW. You know what a POW is? What is it? Prisoner of war? Prince of Wales. Prisoner of words. How many words have been spoken over you in the past? Maybe at school, growing up. Maybe by your parents, maybe family, maybe friends. They've spoken words that have set off something in your mind. And you find it hard to shake. Prisoner of words. You know, many years ago I asked the Holy Spirit, show me something simple when I speak about strongholds. I want to be able to explain it in a simplified way that people can really grasp hold of it. The Holy Spirit said to me, he said, I want you to picture in your mind a screen. There's a screen in my mind like this. And there's a projector. And there's three operators, three projectionists. The first one is Satan. And what he would project on the screen of your mind is words of accusation. He'll accuse you for what you've done in the past. He'll try to make you never forget the wrongs, the sins, the disappointment, whatever you had in the past. He's called the accuser of the brethren, and he will accuse you. But there is another projectionist, and that's you. And what you put on the screen of your mind are words against your character. I'm no good. I can't do it. I'm hopeless. Don't ask me, Pastor, don't ask me. I haven't got it. But there's a third projectionist, and we want the third projectionist to always put his thoughts on the screen of mine, and that is the person of the Holy Spirit. And when he puts words on the screen, it's always words that build up, strengthen, encourage. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts or the plans I have towards you. This is God saying. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you. He has thoughts for you. I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has thoughts concerning you. Not to pull you down, not to condemn you, not to rubbish you. Not to make you feel yourself that you're a failure. Not to bring up your past mistakes and faults and failings. But always thoughts of peace. And you know, even as Christians, we still have to deal with strongholds in our life. But we need to know how to deal with those strongholds. And God says, pull down those strongholds. Pull them down. You know some of the thoughts that Satan brings to our mind? You're not good. You're no good. You're not saved. You even committed the unpardonable sin. You're going to be lost forever. Your kids are never coming back. I know that is a disappointment to you. They'll never come back, God. What about this one? No one appreciates me. Pastor, when I need you, why don't you ring me? Just ring me, for goodness sakes. You'll never give up that habit. You might as well resign yourself to the fact you've got that habit for life. Forget it. Just enjoy it. You'll never get well. That's the way the enemy attacks us. It always starts with thoughts. These lies are downloaded into your mind. And the problem is, when we accept those thoughts as your own, you begin to speak it out. When those thoughts come on the screen of your mind and you begin to, yeah, that's me, yeah, yeah, okay, I'll accept that, yeah, 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 that's me, yeah, I'm hopeless, I'm no good, I begin to speak out what Satan has put in my mind. You begin to say what the enemy brings to your mind, and it may mean that you've accepted it. You know, for instance, I used to have a problem with smoking. I remember a preacher saying to me, smoking won't get you to hell, but you sure smell like you've been there. I said, well, that's encouraging. I thought, Lord Jesus, help me. Just imagine. You go to heaven and someone, have you been smoking? You don't smoke in heaven. And he said, I'll never get rid of it. I might as well accept it. And I enjoyed it with coffee, particularly in the morning. But I came to a point where I knew what to do. And got, that's another story. The Bible says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity. That means bring every thought under the authority of the Word of God. Drive it out with the promises of God. Listen to this in Isaiah 54:17. It says, no weapon. No weapon. I want you to let those thoughts, those two words resonate in your mind right now. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage, or this is the birthright of the servants of the Lord and your righteousness of me, says the Lord. A negative thought from Satan is a weapon that he uses to gain a foothold in our minds. And the Bible very clearly says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. In other words, no weapon will formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, every tongue that's spoken against you in judgment, in condemnation, you don't say, Jesus, please help me. God, help me. Please help me do something. No, he says, you condemn. Too many times Christians are asking God to do what God has instructed them and empowered them to do. You condemn those words. You don't condemn the person, you condemn the words. Those negative words have been spoken against you. You know, many years ago when I was in a church in Adelaide, with a thriving church with Pastor Andrew and your pastor who I'm talking about, Pastor Andrew Evans, who was the national general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Australia for 20 years. And I was on the team, and there were 12 on the eldership. And we would meet every 2 weeks. One day, Pastor Andrew opened a letter, and he said, I've got a letter from two ladies. And he started to read, and it was a letter written by two ladies saying, Pastor Phil, in our prayer time, God spoke to us and said to us, Pastor Phil is a warlock, a male witch, a warlock. And we all laughed. Stupid, crazy, you know. But you know, I left that meeting the following Sunday. I wonder if other people are thinking the same way. Why did that person veer off in the other direction, didn't come up and shake my hand? I wonder if they're thinking that. Second week, again, that thought came to my mind. I wonder, I go to connect groups, I wonder if they're thinking the same thing. I wonder if my fellow workers are thinking the same thing. The third week, I said, listen, I said to my wife, I said, we need to take authority over this. We need to condemn those words. And so we took authority over those words, not over those two women, over the words. You know, one many, many years later, one of them came up to me at another church and says, Pastor Phil, I am so, so sorry. I said, no, you're not. No, I didn't say that. Gotcha! No, I didn't say that. Guy came to me and he said, Pastor, I've had problems in my life, you know, a few years back, and I can't seem to shake it. I'd meet with him once a week for coffee, get him to pay for it. Free counseling. And he'd go on every week. Holy Spirit said to me, tell him his rear vision mirror is bigger than his front screen. I said, brother, listen. You're seeing what more behind you than what's in front of you. You're focusing more on your past. Forget the past. Paul said that to us. And that's what happens with a lot of Christians today. They still think about the past. This is what Jesus said in Luke 10:19. Behold, the word behold means take notice, I'm about to say something very important. Listen up. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said, I have given you, he himself said, I have given you authority. The word trample means trample with contempt. Serpents and scorpions. Serpents represent deceptive words and lies spoken over you. Scorpions represent stinging words, often behind your back, where people speak like the scorpion. They speak behind your back. And Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample. Pastor, please pray for me, Pastor. No, he says, I've given you authority. Pastor, why did you go to Malaysia on your holidays? I need you here now. Please pray for me. No, he's given you authority to trample with contempt on serpents and scorpions, and nothing, come on church, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, the battle is your thought life. You don't play with them, you don't deal lightly with them, you don't humor them. You pull them down. You cast them down. I will not allow that thought to linger any longer. I will not allow it to stand. I will pull it down and cast it out. You know, what's the purpose of wrestling? We've got a couple of wrestlers here. One sang with a while ago, sumo wrestler. You know. And the purpose of wrestling is to pin your opponent down. You pin Satan's words with God's words. You pin his words down. That's the purpose of wrestling. You pin his words. You know, Paul said, the weapons of our warfare. It's a warfare. And remember, we're not fighting for a place of victory. We're fighting from. The victory is already won. But God is saying, I want my people to enforce the victory because we have an encroacher. We have a trespasser. He wants to trespass on God's property. Get your hands off of my daughter. Get your hands off of my family. Get your hands off of my finances. Get your hands off of my body. He is an encroacher. He is a trespasser, and he will trespass on God's property. You are God's property. You can say amen. Get excited if you like. A couple of weeks ago, so I was in a traditional church. In Colossians 2:15, Jesus made a public spectacle. Have a look at that. Of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in possession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering. You know, God has given us powerful weapons. You know, the weapons of the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharpened than a two-edged sword. Jesus used the Word of God. It is written. When the enemy said to me, you might as well resign yourself to the fact you're going to be smoking for life. And, you know, you enjoy it. Come on, you enjoy it with coffee. And I did. Holy Spirit gave me two scriptures. One was Romans 6, speaking about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and our identification in his death and burial. When Jesus died, I died with him. When he was buried, my old body was buried. When he rose again, I arose in newness of life. And Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live now. So I'm a dead man. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me and in you. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and the devil in himself up for me. Amen. I have the life of Christ. So do you if you're a born-again believer. And for 3 weeks, I kept bombarding my mind. I didn't fight the habit. Didn't fight the habit. I simply bombarded my mind with the Word of God, that stronghold, that thought. And after 3 weeks, I said to my wife, I want you to agree with me. Let's take authority. And we took authority over that spirit. And that spirit of nicotine left my body. We smelt it leave. Behind every habit is a spirit. Amen. The weapon of the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the... You testify. What has the blood done for you? It's cleansed you. It's made you whole. It's protected you. It's sanctified you. The blood of Jesus. When I got in the car on the way here today, I said, God, I just plead the blood over this car, over my life, over this car. Car coming this way, coming that way. Both sides, God, I thank you. Lord, I'm going to get there safely and I'm going to come home safely because I plead the blood over my life and the car. And the traveling in Jesus' name. You plead the blood over your family. When the devil tries to attack God, I just plead the blood in Jesus' name. Satan cannot cross the bloodline. He hates the blood of Jesus. Because the blood speaks about the life of Jesus. And there's the weapon of his name. You love his name? He's been given a name above all names. What's the name of your sickness? Is it cancer? Is whatever the name, it has a name. There's a specific name. That might be the overall name, but there may be a specific name. Okay? Whatever your condition is, whatever problem you've got, whatever you're going through, it has a name. Well, God has given Christ, his Son, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Use the name. He has given us the authority to use his name at the name of Jesus. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I rise up and walk. They had the name. They didn't have silver and gold. They had the name. Not a powerful weapon is praise. In 2 Chronicles 20:22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes. Ambushes are surprise attack. When you praise God, God will send surprise attacks against the enemy. Because praise brings the presence of God into your situation, into your problem, into the battle. And he sends ambushes out to the enemy. Another powerful weapon is the weapon of his presence. That's a powerful weapon. Let me read to you. Numbers 10:35. So it was whenever the ark was set that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. And let those who hate you flee before you. You know, you carry, as a born-again believer, you carry the presence of God wherever you go. You may not feel it, but you're carrying his presence. He dwells in you. Whether it's a shopping mall, whether it's school, whether it's your workplace, whether it's a home, you're carrying his presence. And another weapon, there's others, but the one that I love here is the weapon of the gospel. You know the gospel is a powerful weapon? This is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. I was sharing with a girl at Werribee a couple of months ago. And she served coffee, and the coffee was cold and terrible. And so she said, can I get you another coffee? Oh, I said, oh, that'd be nice. Holy Spirit then spoke to me about her. He said, she has a desire in her heart. She's believing to be fulfilled in her life. I said, listen, you've got something that you're believing for. You have a desire in you. She said, yes. She said, I'm 21 years of age. By the time I'm 25, I want to get my own house. I said, God spoke to me that you had this. Can I pray with you for that? And she said, yes. And I said, the reason why God brought it to your attention is because he loves you and he's interested in your life. I said, do you know him? No. Would you like to know him? Yes. You know what I did? I did the most stupid, dumbest thing you could ever do. I said, well, just go and make coffee first and then come back. And without a word of a lie, Holy Spirit said to me, remember D.L. Moody? in Chicago? You go and Google it. He told the people at this meeting, he said, he shared them how to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, come back the next night, and I'll show you. You know, Chicago got burnt down, many of those people never came back because they lost their lives in the fire. Yeah. Holy Spirit brought that to my attention. Yes. So I said, sit here. So I led it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then she got the coffin. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know, 93% of Christians never share their faith. But the 7% in this church all do. You all do. That's apparently the statistics. And yet it's the power of God unto salvation. In Jeremiah 23:29 it says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. The Amplified brings it like this. And like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance. You know, I was wanting to build a shed at the back of my house. But we had to break up this concrete. You ever try to break up concrete? You use a sledgehammer, you know? You don't just use a hammer. Get a sledgehammer. Boom, once, nothing happened. Twice, nothing. Third time, nothing. Fourth, nothing. Fifth, nothing. Sixth, nothing. Seven, suddenly I saw a little crack. Little crack in the concrete. So I kept pounding that crack. Pounding until it opened up. Then I was able to break it. That's what you do with strongholds. You pound it with the word of God. It may not seem that anything's happening the first time. Don't give up. Don't stop. Pound. Your kids are not coming back. Pound that stronghold in Jesus' name. You'll never get well. Pound that stronghold in Jesus' name. You'll never be financially viable. Pound that stronghold in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you. You know, prayer alone will not do this miracle for you. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to give him words that he, spoken in faith, that he can operate on, that he can move on. He's hovering. He's hovering like he did in Genesis 1. He's hovering. What's he waiting for? Spoken word. When the word is spoken, then he acts. God's word is like a hammer and it destroys strongholds. Proverbs 4 verses 20 to 22 says, my son, pay attention to all the words I'm telling you. Lean in closer so you may hear all I say. Keep them before you. Meditate on them. Set them safely in your heart. For those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to their bodies. Just remember this thought. If you just take the opposite of what Satan says to you, then you'll know the truth. Then back it up with Scripture. The devil says you're not saved. Back it up with Scripture. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be sons of God. If he says you're going to die early in life, back it up with the words from Psalm 91, where David said, with long life he will satisfy and show you his salvation. If the enemy says that you will never get well, declare it by his stripes. I am healed. If the enemy tells you that God will not forgive your sins or heal your particular disease, replace it. And decree it and declare it with Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all our diseases or heals all our iniquities, heals all our diseases. See, this is what Jesus did. He used the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. You too can defeat the enemy by saying, it is written. And that's how you bring every thought into captivity. But there's more. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's more. There's more. I want to look at, finish off with this, scriptures from Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. This is Paul from Romans 12, 1 to 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That's what the devil wants us to do, be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word transform means change. Comes from the Greek word metamorphosis. You know, one of the greatest examples or illustrations of this word is the four stages of a butterfly. Butterfly, it starts off with an egg, then a larvae, then a pupae, then it becomes a butterfly. They say if you try to get the butterfly out of the pupae, I'm going to help you, little butterfly, you try, it will lose its strength and it will die quickly. The struggle in the pupae is to help it gain strength to fly. But secondly, the struggle in the pupae also helps to develop its colours on its wings. Strength and colour. And then once it gets out of the pupae, it starts. It goes like this. What's it doing? It's pumping blood to its wings. How do you pump the Word of God? Keep declaring it. Keep declaring it. Keep declaring it. Keep declaring it. Pumping the Word of God into our minds and our hearts. Our thinking is being changed and renewed by the process of metamorphosis, by God's Word, by confession. That's why we need to think as God thinks, about our salvation, about forgiveness, mercy, sickness, about His goodness. We sang about it today. Wonderful things that He has for us. King David, he made this statement, Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorn, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. Once a week when he comes to church. Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruits in the season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Notice he says he meditates day and night. Day and night. That word meditate, it comes from the Hebrew word haggah, H-A-G-A-H, haggah. The haggah has two mainfold meanings. The first one is like a cow chewing its cud. You're meditating on the word. You're chewing on the word. You're thinking about it. You're speaking it out. You're meditating. You're throwing back to God His own words. God, you said. And you're meditating on the word. Thank you, Lord. I'm meditating your word. Thank you, Father, by His stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Father God, no weapon formed against me prosper. Thank you, Father God, that I am the righteousness of Christ. Thank you, Father God, I'm clothed in your righteousness. And you're constantly meditating. You're constantly thinking of those words. See, we've lost the art of meditation. We've given it to Eastern religions, but it was a God-given tool for God's people to use to meditate on His word day and night. The second meaning of the word haggah, is a picture of a lion hungry for food. And he's roaring for food. Haggah! I need something to eat. That's what it means. Hungry for the word day and night. I don't want a snack. I want a meal. It's desiring God's word like a starving lion. Haggah for His word. And God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, your hunger and obedience to my word is directly related to your success in life. You want to be successful in life? Meditate on His word. Meditate on Joshua 1. Listen to the way this word, haggah, is used in Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And in his law, he meditates, he haggahs on the word of God, day and night. This is the Christian who can pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, because he haggahs on the word day and night. It's pinning Satan's thoughts with God's thoughts. You know, you can change your state and atmosphere changing your thoughts, basing those thoughts on the great unchanging promises of God. You know, don't allow the enemy, church, don't allow the enemy to rob you of God's best. Let's begin to fill our minds and our hearts, our surroundings, with the powerful seed thoughts of God's word that brings victory, brings peace, brings wholeness, brings a sense of release. Base these thoughts on definite promises of God. Think about them. Talk about them. And act on them. Think, talk, and act. When you go home today, you're driving along, you stop at a stop sign, and you turn to the car next to you, you go, "Haga!" It's not the word that the New Zealanders use. Not the haka that they use. No, it's not the haka. Haka! They taught us how to do it on the ship when I went to New Zealand in January. Still can't figure it, but anyway. But it's terrific to see what they're doing. But it's the haka, the word of God, day and night. The entrance of the word gives light. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It can divide the soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And your speech, you know, Holy Spirit said to Reinhard Bonnke, "Your words," listen to this. He was struggling when he first went to Africa. He was struggling, saying, "God, nothing seems to happen. I'm scared. I'm, you know, a bit intimidated and so on, and pressured and so on." And God said to him, "Your words in your mouth is just as great as my words in my mouth." Let me say that again. Your words in your mouth, my words in your mouth is just as great as my words in my mouth. Come on, church, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Remember, winter is past. Hallelujah. Winter is past. A new season. A new season of boldness. A new season of speaking the word of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray for every person here. Lord, I thank you, Father God. I thank you for their desire to grow in you and to hunger after you and to long for you. Pray your blessing upon every person. I pray, Father God, let this word sink deep into their hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray for the fathers in this house. Lord God, maybe they've been a little bit disappointed in their own lives. Maybe things that have happened, Lord God, and they wish they hadn't have done this or wish they had did this and that sort of thing. But God, I pray that today, Father God, let the word of God richly dwell in them. Let the word of God be strong in them. Let them hunger the word of God, Lord, and stand on your word and not be shaken, not allow the enemy to shift them, cause them to shift ground, but they will stand true to your word in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every person, just while every eye is closed, every head bowed. I want just to give this time for Holy Spirit to speak to people.